Hey, welcome. Welcome aboard here on 96.7 The Wave. I'm your host, Kevin Sandler. It's another back-to-school week, this time in Salina. And we are in the brand-new elementary school, and is it ever beautiful. Now, I've got the building principals here with me from CES. We've got Michelle Duncan, Corey Arnes, and Jenna Hodge. And I'm going to begin with Michelle. First of all, thanks for coming on. And I wanted to have you share with us, a bit about, how you're off to a great start. I mean, it's one thing, I think, to have a first day of school. First day of school in a new building, even if you've been in this career for a while, that's quite different.
It is. You're right. And,
with so many great sports to follow, how do you keep track of the where and when? You can follow the MAC, WBL, Buckeyes and Bengals. WCSM is your sports leader, and we've got it covered. The answer? The WCSM Fall Sports Guide. It's what every sports fan needs. This booklet fits in your hand and includes all the games WCSM is covering live on AM 1350 and Lake 100.3 and 96.7 The Wave, and all the games you can listen to online at WCSMradio.com. The best part? It's free and can be picked up at the following sponsor locations.
All right. Welcome back here on 96.7 The Wave as we are back to school in Salina. Good to have you along. It's Kevin Sandler with you. Again, we're talking with Michelle Duncan. We're just going to start again, Michelle. I just wanted to talk with us about, how you are off to a good start. Because as I said, it's one thing to have a first day of school. It's another thing when it's first day of school in a new building, right?
That's right, Kevin. And it has been an adventurous year, that's for sure. We've had lots of little technical difficulties as we started the school year, but man, what a great start. I cannot say enough about our staff, our students, our teachers, our maintenance department, custodians, our parents. It has been a phenomenal year. And if you've ever moved or built a house or done a remodel project, you just never know when something might go astray that you weren't expecting. Well, this is like times 100 for us. But overall, it has been a fabulous start to the new school year.
And that's what we want to know. That's certainly what we want to hear. And, just kind of one thing, to kind of talk about, too, is, you've got obviously teachers, staff, they've done really well. And there are certain things that you would expect, to be issues with a new building, whether it's parent drop-off and kick-off, and pick-up, cafeteria, obviously a new gym, if you will, new playground, my favorite thing. I think they should never phase out playgrounds. I think a lot of companies would be really successful if they continue to have a playground, just my opinion.
That's right, Kevin. And our new playground is amazing. It has definitely been a work in progress. We have some amazing new equipment that was a part of the building project. We repurposed some equipment from Salina Primary School and some of the other buildings. It's still a work in progress. We're waiting on our athletic fields, the kickball fields, things like that to be finished. That won't be finished until the rest of the building to West comes down and we're remodeled over there. But we're going to be adding swings. We're going to be adding some basketball hoops. One of the best parts of the playground is we have this poured-in-place surfacing. It's a rubber surfacing that wheelchairs and things can go over. So part of our playground is now handicap accessible, and we've never had that opportunity. So it's amazing for the kids at CES.
Another thing about that, too, is how nice it is that, the kids that may be in a wheelchair, they're very much a part of what's happening here. I happen to, see a child using a wheelchair, in the hallway. The nice thing about that is maybe when we were growing up, longer ago than either of us wants to admit, but, kids that may have had handicaps or other issues were kind of away from everyone else, and we're getting away from that now.
We certainly are, Kevin, and this new building has just made it that much nicer and more convenient for all of our students to learn at Salina Elementary School. One of the other areas that has been added or remodeled, should I say, is our cafeteria. Kevin, do you know how many students we serve in our cafeteria each day?
I'd have to say it would be approaching 1,000. Does that sound?
Oh, man. Mr. Arnes is our cafeteria specialist.
Okay.
Mr. Arnes, can you tell us about the cafeteria?
Tell us about that cafeteria, if you will.
Well, you're right on. So we have approximately 1,233 kids in the building, and we're serving just about 1,000 of them. It is amazing. We spent a lot of time digging into the data, how many lunches are being served in a day, how many lunches are being brought for home. And on top of that, we serve 4 different varieties of lunch, a hot lunch, and a variety of cold lunches. So setting up our lines, our infrastructure for that, we are serving almost 350 kids in 9 minutes at 4 lunch periods. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool. And also, as you said, different things you can eat, right? Do you still have, growing up, I know the greatest thing that we ever ate was always the school pizza. Is that still around?
Every Friday. And we have a variety of different pizzas, but most of the people listening on air here remember the big rectangle pizzas. We have those kids. They're still a favorite of the kids. Second favorite on the whole list, right behind chicken nuggets.
Yes. And those are kind of the bane of your existence when you're growing up. So sorry to say, some of us never quite got out of that. So I like to have those things for lunch. So I'd like to share you talked with me a little bit off air about, you know, how much you really love the building and what's happening here. You know, kind of share your thoughts with us about this.
Yeah, I guess just to be validated too, you know, I go through the building every day and I think our staff and everybody's so grateful for what the community gave us. And I think it's not overboard. It's just the paint schemes, the design is just, it's really nice. And then be validated, the last 2 open houses we had over 1,000 people come to our 2 open houses. I thought that was tremendous. But they walk through it too and say, it's not elaborate, but it's beautiful.
Not to mention some things that come to mind that I, you know, haven't thought of, you take for granted, you know, climate control.
Yeah. So we're at a roughly 72 to 73 degree constant temperature here. You know, at one time previous to my employment here in Salina, I did work in a climate control environment. And it's just amazing how the students are better learners. The teachers are better teachers without any extra effort. And kids are doing a wonderful job with it.
And very believable. You can almost ask a teacher asking, are you paying attention? Do you understand this message? What I'm trying to teach you, and the student saying, listen, Mr. So-and-so, I'm not interested. It's really hard to focus. So I'm happy for the kids and teachers on that regard.
And we are grateful.
No question. Let's talk with Mrs. Hodge, if we could. And first of all, nice to see you again. How many years for you have you been here now?
So this is my 17th year in the district, and this is my first year, or I'm sorry, my 4th year as a principal at Salina.
You know, time goes by, right?
It does. It goes so fast.
What's the difference? You know, if you share with us a couple things, if you would, you know, kind of talk about, you know, some of the other things like the remodel of CIS, because We're so into this new building, which is understandable. You don't see this every day, but we don't want to leave out that there's still a lot of work being done.
Oh, absolutely. And as we all know, 4th through 6th grade is over at our old West building, and they will be joining us at the main campus around December, January time, and we are so excited. I will say just a huge shout out to our 4th, 6th teachers. They have been nothing short of amazing. I mean, they may put in more steps than anybody, going back and forth for lunches and specials, and you hear no complaints. They are doing a phenomenal job.
Now, if you could share with us, what are some of the things the students have said about the new building and everything? I bet you've got some stories.
Oh, absolutely. They love it. And especially our 6th graders who were at CIS last year, those kids every day saw the progress from start to finish. So I feel like they're in a really unique situation where they saw the building project from day one. And now those group of kids will be the first group of 6th graders in the new addition. So I think that's pretty special.
I would think so, yeah. And, you know, and for you, if you could share with us, how has this kind of changed things for you to come into a new building?
This is wonderful. Obviously, we all loved our own little buildings, but there's nothing like coming to a brand new building and having all cases 6 under 1. Just the collaboration, the communication, the transitions, just have been amazing from start to finish. And we're just so thankful that our community has given us this opportunity to be in a K-6 building.
Also, maybe the importance of how easy it is not to have to switch buildings as often.
And
maybe, you know, now that we're older, we may not think about something like that. But I think when you're a little guy, you know, having to maybe go to another building or what have you, that's kind of a big deal.
It is, absolutely. And we went from 3 different transitions, 4 sometimes with preschool, down to 2. You know, they'll leave us and they'll go to the new 712 building. So So just those transitions, I mean, that's huge for little kids. And then even though they're going from grade to grade, they will still be able to...
WCSM, your sports leader. Listen all year round to WCSM for the best coverage of college and professional sports. Coverage of Ohio State football and basketball, the NCAA Final Four, Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Cavaliers, Xfinity Racing, NASCAR Racing, AFC and NFC Championships, and the Super Bowl. Listen to coverage of your favorite team on 96.7 FM, AM 1350, or 100.3 FM. WCSM, your sports leader.
All right, admit it. You love hearing someone tell you happy birthday or congratulating you on your wedding anniversary. 96.7 The Wave, we want your friends and family and neighbors to hear it's your special day. The Wave, along with CJ Highmarts and JT's Brew and Grill, invite you to call in those birthdays and anniversaries. Then on Friday mornings, we will announce a birthday or anniversary giveaway winner. Every week, we'll draw one lucky name from our Citizen of the Day list and award them with a $10 gift certificate to CJ Highmarts or JT's Brew and Grill. 96.7 The Wave, where we do it for you.
Hey, welcome back here. We're doing back to school, and I've got Mrs. Hodge with me. We've been talking about the remodel of CIS. I know there's also going to be a Board of Education meeting tonight, which I want to add. Good job by Solana. Anybody can watch it on YouTube.
Yes.
Because I know not everybody can make it down to the high school for that. But you're going to talk about a calendar change. I'm going to make sure I get the right person for that. I think that's Mrs. Duncan, right?
That's right. So there's going to be a proposal on the board agenda tonight for our board to consider, and the agenda is out for the public to view. So we are ahead of schedule with the remodel in the 4-6 building. Originally, the calendar showed that we would be moving over Martin Luther King Day weekend. So the 4th through 6th grade students would not be in school that week, so that the teachers could move and set up their new classrooms. But because we're ahead of schedule, it looks like we're going to tag those days into our Christmas break, hopefully. And we'll adjust the calendar so those kids would be off over Christmas break. And then the first 4 days that we come back in January, that the K-3 kids are back, the 4th through 6th grade kids would not be here, and they would return on a believe that Friday, which I believe is January 10th, maybe, and then they will be in their brand new classrooms ready to go.
All right. That does sound like that's going to be fun. And, you know, obviously, one thing I'm sure you want to bring out, students and staff, you know, whoever wants to talk about this, being great sports, you know, obviously, upheaval is never an easy thing in life or at work. It happens, you know, sometimes. Even if you're not in education, I mean, haven't we all worked somewhere where they redid the computers or something? It's basically totally different. And a lot of that just comes down to how smooth things are going to go when things come up like that. Really depends on everyone's attitude, doesn't it?
And our students and staff have had a fabulous attitude from start to finish, even starting back last spring when we were moving out of our other buildings to move into the new buildings. They have been wonderful. Of course, there's been some obstacles along the way, but we have faced those with grace and understanding and flexibility, and we could not ask for better staff and students. They are amazing.
In other words, pardon our dust, right? Where you're remodeling. That's how it goes. In fact, it's going to be really neat when, like, your parking lot is done and everything. And when I came in here, I said, yeah, I said, this, I know this is not nearly the way it's going to look. So, you know, you just want everyone to kind of be patient with that. And in time, you'll get there, right?
Yes, absolutely. We already think the building looks amazing, but we can only imagine what it's going to look like next year at this time when West is down. It's just going to look totally different next year even.
Some of the important things also, what you have in, you know, building is, as I see Mr. Adams out there, a favorite of ours. And I wanted to, you know, point out why it's important, you know, to have like the latest and the greatest, but not the least of which is there certainly does come a time when you really can only go so far with what you have. You only can do so many extension, you know, cords. You really can only, you know, do so many portable lighting or whatever you have to do to get power to all those computers you have to. At some point, the infrastructure, you just can't anymore.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that we have, our maintenance department has done such a wonderful job over the years, you know, with the upkeep of our building. So like you said, you, I mean, there's nothing like the most up-to-date technology. And we're just so thankful that our students have you know, the best for their education. And we just thank our community. We know without our community, this never would have been possible.
Well, and I wanted to add, too, that, you know, out of all the school districts in our area, you know, Salina's the last one to do a building project. So, therefore, it really is the latest and greatest, right? There's an advantage to going last.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And a compliment also, even though it's a new building, it's sort of like I feel like I've been here before. The green and the white, the bulldog character is everywhere. I mean, you know where you are. You know, that even I think, you know, adults now that went to the old building, they pretty much know they're in bulldog country when they come here, right?
Yes, and I just think it shows how much pride we have in our school, in our community, with our staff and students, and that's what we wanted to shine through, that line of pride.
That's for sure. And again, we thank you, as always, for your time. Shell, again, exciting for you. I mean, when you think about the wonderful long career you've had, to be able to see through, you know, to this, it's got to be pretty satisfying for you, because let's face it, when you started, and then when I went to school, I mean, they still had the Ditto machine and stuff like that, right? Now we're seeing this awesome stuff.
That's correct. I can remember using that mimeograph machine and the Ditto machine and all that purple ink that would go all over the place. So, yes. Thank you for reminding me of how old I am, Mr. Sandler.
It's all right. You're younger than I am, I do believe. And you're talking to a guy who used to pound erasers, okay?
Yeah, I did that too. So it has been amazing, and what an opportunity. Here as I, you know, get towards the end of my career, I still have a lot of years to give, but it has been just rejuvenating for all of us.
And we're not old, we're vintage.
Oh, yes. I like that a lot better, vintage.
Get that right. Which is also better than saying antique, I think, also. So I want to thank all three of you, Mr. Irons, Mrs. Hodge, and, of course, always good to see Mrs. Duncan, and we're going to take a break. We have Mrs. Simcoe coming in with a couple third graders, it looks like. They're just waiting patiently for their time to come in, just like good kids do, right? Waiting for their time to come in. And we'll be right back here at 96.7 The Wave.
When you buy your next vehicle, think Buds. Hi, I'm Matt Hamilton with Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Salina. When you buy a vehicle from Buds, you'll have the peace of mind knowing you'll always receive the best service, the best follow-up, and the best deal. We carry a large selection of trucks, cars, vans, and SUVs, both new and used. Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South Main Street in Salina, under the huge American flag. Visit us online or on your smartphone at budschrysler.com.
Be on the lookout for rare white Bengals. They will be on the prowl Sunday, October 27th, when the Philadelphia Eagles come to Cincinnati.
It's time to white out the jungle. The challenge is on to join the team in Pac Paycor Stadium with everyone all wearing white for this nationally televised game.
Don't wait. Very limited tickets remain. Visit Bengals.com/tickets and rule the jungle with us. The Bengals-Eagles game is presented by Swift Meats.
Do you know how much you're really paying for life insurance through work? I can almost guarantee you're overpaying for limited coverage. I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent for over 20 years. My clients are shocked to learn how expensive life insurance at work really is because of a rate that's driven up by unhealthy people. Why pay more when you don't have to? For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. I found a 40-year-old man with high blood pressure, a $500,000 policy, for only $18 a month. Don't procrastinate. Workplace open enrollment will be here soon. Let SelectQuote save you money and get you the coverage you need to protect your family.
For your free quote in just minutes, call 1-800-714-6633. That's 1-800-714-6633. 1-800-714-6633. Or go to SelectQuote.com.
Full details on example policy and carrier ratings at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Price could vary by health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Welcome back. We are here at the new Salina Elementary School. I want to talk about, we have Mrs. Simcoe here, positive behavior intervention and sports, right? Mrs. Simcoe, good to see you again.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Let's, you know, talk about some things, obviously, something, you know, kind of, there's certainly some things you do for all students, and then there's, you know, interventions that you do. So I thought that was a wonderful way to kind of get things started today.
Yeah, so we, positive behavior interventions and support stands for PBIS, and there are three tiers that kind of go with that. Tier one is the universal, where all of our students, 100% of our students receive these interventions, and then tier two is just a small portion, so maybe less
15% or less of our students receive tier two interventions. And then there's also a tier three, which is 5% or less.
All right. And so another thing with some of the interventions, I know a lot of parents have probably heard that term, used a lot, in discussion or even with their own kids. But, we should mention, too, that, when it comes to, behavior and intervention and all that, it's not a bad thing, right? This is really good for the students.
Yeah. With CBIS, we really focus on the positive behavior of students. And there's a saying that goes, we get the behavior that we look for. And if we're looking for that positive behavior and we're rewarding that positive behavior, the goal is to increase that positive behavior.
All right. Let's talk about, a couple things. Obviously, when you get into some of the grades, it really, starts to vary by age. But, with your K through student, two students, for example, you're giving them stickers, punch cards, being the top dog, stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So last year, our K through two students, they could earn different stickers and then they could get punch cards. And after they got so many punch cards, they got put into kind of like a drawing type thing to see who could be the top dog for that week.
And then you start to, kind of change that a little bit, right, as students start to get older.
Yeah, so then last year for third and fourth grade, our kids could still earn those stickers, and they had punch cards. After they got five stickers, they could turn that punch card into the office and get a gumball. And then their punch card would also go into a drawing, and we would do a drawing every other week, and they would get some extra prizes for that.
Cool. And then by fifth and sixth grade, they start to move up some more, I'm going to call it structured rewards, structured incentives, right?
Yeah, so last year they could have earned Bulldog Bucks, and then they could turn those Bulldog Bucks and buy something at the Bulldog store. So I think it was about every Friday they could go to the Bulldog store, and they could choose to save their bucks because each of the different items at the Bulldog store cost different amounts of money. So they could save that, or they could spend their money at the Bulldog store.
I like that. You're teaching them a little slice of the real world, right?
Yep.
Earn money, and then you can spend it.
Yep.
Now, if you just give them some bills, the lesson will be complete, right?
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about, some other things, too. For students, that may need additional support, whether it's intervention. Of course, there's other things, too, that you can start to work with them. So they're able to kind of get by in school, right, and kind of overcome some of these things.
Yep. So when we're looking at behavior, it could be things about anxiety or self-management, executive functioning skills, anger management. There's a lot of different things. And then when we're looking at those, specifically that tier two and tier three, we might be looking at more small groups and having really teaching those students or even reteaching those students specific skills that maybe they're missing to better help them in the classroom and just overall here at school in general.
All right. Now, you have brought, a couple third graders with you today. And just to give the audience a preview, kind of share with us what they're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So I have two of our third grade students here today. And actually, part of our tier one for PBIS is we do a Bulldog of the Month. And these are two of our third grade Bulldogs of the Month for the month of September. So we have Rio and Zach here today, and I think they can talk to us a little bit about maybe some positive things that they've done so far this year and maybe some things that they've done in the classroom or around school that can that has kind of helped them be chosen as the Bulldog of the Month for their class.
All right, let's talk to our first Bulldog of the Month, and that's Rio. Hi, Rio.
Hi.
If you can share with us, what are some positive things you've gotten to do, and what do you like so much about going to school?
I like going to school because you can see friends and you get to learn.
That's pretty good, right? I mean, that's why you come to school, right? So what are some of the neat things you've gotten to do this year?
I got to make crafts. I get to get pizza parties, and then you get to have a pizza party. And I like learning. And, I like lunch. I like how we get to play at recess, too. And
I'll tell you what, growing up, I remember at your age, lunch and recess were pretty much my two best subjects. I want to share that with you. So let's talk about, first of all, what do you think of this new building?
I think it's pretty cool.
I do too. I do too. Have you ever thought about what you might want to do when you grow up?
I think, I don't know. I think I remember what it's called, but I think it's like a cosmetologist where you do like hair, you do facial, and you do like people's nails too.
Very nice. Good luck. I appreciate that. Let's talk with Zach for a minute. Hi, Zach. Thanks for coming. Share with us what you've gotten to do this year and how you got to be a Bulldog of the Month.
I would be a great kid. I tried to listen as hard as I could. I tried to be as nice as I could. I tried to be as quiet as I could when I was supposed to.
That was something I always struggled with growing up, right? Being quiet in classes was a big one. What do you enjoy most about coming to school?
I would see my friends, and I could learn a lot about history and all this stuff, like science or math or social studies.
That's pretty neat. So you're a fan of history?
Yes.
A young man after my own heart. I love history. That's a great subject. Have you thought about what you would like to do someday?
I would be a scientist in somewhere like in California or in Florida.
Very nice. All right. I wouldn't bet against you. I'm sure you'll do that. Let's talk with Mrs. Simcoe again. Some of the things to, you know, talk about is you talk about be safe, be respectful, be responsible, and be here. And a lot of the things it seems you're addressing are, let's face it, some of the things where, you know, there can be issues. The hallway, recess, the boss, you know, these where things can maybe go wrong. And even like the distance learning, which wasn't a thing growing up. But you're trying to tell them all these things are going to be in your life. But, you know, obviously be responsible, right? Be respectful of others.
Yeah, and when we looked at all those areas, we have our PBIS matrix, and it has all those areas around the school, like the cafeteria, lunch, and we really try to teach our kids how we can practice being safe in those areas and be respectful and responsible. And being here just means that we're being present, we're being ready to learn and ready to engage in education and with each other throughout the day.
Now, some of these things are so important to learn. I notice where one of the things that says if I treat the school's equipment as if it were my own and put it away, you know, correctly, but it really is your own because if something happens to it in a break, you're not going to have it to use, right?
Yep. So at recess, we have a lot of school-owned balls and equipment and things like that. So that's kind of what it's referring to. But even in the classroom, our kids all have Chromebooks that they use throughout the day. So being respectful and responsible with those Chromebooks and making sure that they're not getting broken or lost or keys are not missing, things like that.
Yeah, they're pretty tough machines, but again, you've got to treat them with that respect so that they do last. And you know, for a lot of years, it was, you know, we used to have to haul around a lot of textbooks and some other things. So for people, you know, that maybe are a little older, understand this is their school life. They need that thing, right?
Yep, and even some, especially with some of our older kids, a lot of our assignments are done online too. And there's a lot of different apps and learning apps and different things like that our kids use a lot throughout the day.
Yeah, Chromebooks, I know schools are a big fan of Chromebooks because for one thing, you can buy them in bulk, but they do a really good job with updating the software. They're not one of those machines that are pretty much outdated the minute you get them out of the box, right? You can use these a while.
Yeah, we definitely use all of them for several years.
Excellent. I want to remind everybody, by the way, that you're listening to WCSM 96.7 in Salina, and we are talking with Mrs. Simcoe and her students. Now, share with us, you know, how long you've been at it now, and has the new building kind of changed the way you do things? Has it made your job a little easier to do?
So, yeah, this is my 13th year as a school counselor overall. This is starting my 11th year in Salina. The new building, I think, is absolutely fantastic. This year, our grade levels for the school counselors have changed a little bit. So previously, I had third and fourth grade, and now I have kindergarten, third grade, and sixth grade. So different grade levels, and I'm really, really liking it and getting to work with all of the kids.
Those are very different grade levels, too. The difference sometimes between, say, a kindergartner and a second grader is almost like night and day, right? I mean, your kindergartners are still very much learning some stuff.
Yeah, it was interesting at the beginning of the year, really seeing the awesome kindergarten teachers and aides and other support staff really teach them the basic things such as just washing your hand and using the restroom appropriately. But as we keep practicing those things, you can tell that the kids mature, they listen, they grow. And then by, you know, third grade, some of those basics, all those basic skills are really met already. But yeah, there's a big difference between all of those things.
And then sometimes you get those students that are way ahead of schedule, right? Like you think, gosh, you have quite a vocabulary for your age. Those are the ones that sometimes they bloom a little sooner, right?
Yep, and for some of those kids that might be a little bit more advanced, we like to push them a little bit more and keep challenging them so they can keep learning at their level.
All right. So some of the things, also when it comes to, intervention or, sometimes I we see students talk about it, even on their social media about IEP. It seems that a lot of it is becoming, much more accepted. People, think of it as a positive thing. And a lot of parents have said that they've seen some great improvement, from their own kids, when they're working on intervention and things like that, right?
Yep. So an IEP stands for Individualized Education Plan, and some of our students who are on IEPs also have some behavior support. So that could be a behavior contract or just some behavior goals. But we try to do a lot of things that are very individualized for some of our kids to make sure that they're getting what they need in order for them to perform the best that they can and be successful here at school.
Yeah, I would imagine for a lot of the students, it means a lot, it's a teacher, it's you, anybody says, I do believe in you and I do think you can do this and we're going to help you not get angry or we're going to help you cope with things a little better. For a lot of us growing up, you look forward to going to school, you had fun, you saw your friends. For others, that's just not how it goes, right?
Yep, and that's actually my favorite part. So I am really big on teaching our kids the skills that maybe they're missing or they're lagging and really working with them on teaching them those skills instead of maybe discipline or getting in trouble and having consequences and things like that. Because all of our kids can be successful. All of our kids can learn. All of our kids can grow and show improvement. We just have to work with them and really teach them what they need in order to be successful.
Yep, some of the things, again, that they look so positive to talk about, whether it's a reward system, structured breaks, I like also the idea of a behavior contract or a behavior, plan where, you're working with them within the issues that they might have, but you're also saying to them, hey, this is the agreement we've made. What happened here, right? This is not what we talked about.
Yeah, and with a lot of those, it also comes with having a mentor or somebody to check in with them, and that mentor is going to kind of help hold them accountable and just kind of remind them of what our expectations are here at school and what we do to help them learn and make good choices.
All right, that's what it's about. Now, for you, over the years, have you had a chance to, as you said, your kind of favorite part of the job where you've been able to enjoy, seeing that improvement? Maybe they go on into high school or whatever, but you might run into them and you see they're doing really well now.
Yeah, so my first year here, those kids are probably sophomores or juniors in high school now. So it's definitely neat to see, some of those evolving and, participating in sports and different activities in the high school level and seeing them graduate. It's really neat to see those success stories.
It's interesting as we have a couple third graders, in the room with us. And they may not believe it, but the time does go quickly. We're looking at them in third grade, and they probably think it's going to be forever, until they're a senior in high school. Or you and I kind of know better. That time does fly.
It does fly. Even I think the days, every single day just flies by. We come in at 7:45, 8 o'clock every morning, and before you know it, it's 3 o'clock, and we're helping pack all the kids up and getting them ready to go home for the day. So I think the school year's flying by, but also the days, each day goes by so fast.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time the clock was my friend, and I can't. It just catches up to you. Mr. Simcoe, thank you for coming, and thank you to Zach and Piper for being on as well. We appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to move on, and we're in our next segment. We're going to talk with a couple of teachers. We're going to talk perhaps a little bit of music. We'll see as we continue here on The Wave.
It's a perfect time to begin thinking about where to shop this holiday season. I'm Stacey Bucher from the Celina Mercer County Chamber of Commerce. I would like to remind you to go local, not just this holiday season, but all year long. Our community is made up of the best retailers, the best corporations, industries, and of course, the best schools. And the best way to continue our small town success is to support these local businesses. So get on out there, shop local, support local all year long.
Live the magic of an icon. Always Olivia. The ultimate tribute to Olivia Newton-John is coming to the Niswonger Performing Arts Center on Friday, November 8th. From Grease hits to timeless classics, it's a night of unforgettable music. Tickets start at just $25. Grab yours now at VanWortLive.com.
It's not the first
I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean.
Can't be home for the game?
Caught for the touchdown!
NFL Plus has you covered with live, local, and primetime games on the go.
What a game he's had!
On your mobile device, you can access live, local Sunday afternoon games and all the primetime action for Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football.
Tonight was definitely their night.
Sign up for NFL Plus today at plus.nfl.com/radio. Subscription required for NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Time now to take a look at our exclusive radar weather watch forecast brought to you by Edward Jones.
Ample sunshine expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 78. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 46. Daytime highs approaching 78 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mainly clear skies Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 73. 61 Thursday.
Match your financial goals with the right strategies. You may have multiple financial goals and each requires a specific investment strategy, but all these strategies should follow a similar process, so it's important to take the right steps at the right time. First, define each of your goals. Instead of just saying you want to retire comfortably, create a vision of what your retirement looks like. Will you travel, pursue your hobbies, spend time with family members? Next, estimate how much your goal will cost to achieve, then invest appropriately for it. For a long-term goal, such as retirement, you'll likely invest for growth. For a shorter-term goal, such as paying for an international vacation in a few years, you may want to invest more conservatively. Also, understand potential trade-offs. If you decide you need to save more for your children's education, how will it affect your retirement goals? Finally, monitor your progress toward each goal. If you think you're not on track, you may need to adjust your strategies. Achieving your financial goals takes time, effort, and commitment. But by following the most appropriate strategies for your situation, you've got a path that can help you lead to your success. This financial spotlight presented to you by Celina and Coldwater Edward Jones locations, member SIPC.
Well, currently at the Cooper Farm Studios, the 96.7 The Wave. The barometer's at 30.26 inches. Winds out of the southwest at 8 miles an hour. We have sunny skies, 69 degrees. The radar weather watch has been brought to you by Edward Jones. Let's continue on with Back to School from the Celina School District. Here's Kevin Sandler.
Well, thank you so much, Clay. We're having a great time here. Back to school in Celina. We're going to talk about Red Ribbon Week, but we have some students we're going to talk to. In the meantime, we have Eric Wastey and Zinia Adams, who are counselors. And Zinia, first of all, thanks for coming. I wanted to begin by having you, you know, kind of explain to us a little bit what this is about and what we're going to hear from with the students today.
Thank you. So Red Ribbon Week is a national week that just helps kids make healthy decisions, saying no to drugs, alcohol, vaping, things like that, but also making healthy choices, what kind of food you eat, exercising, all those sorts of things. We have a dress-up day every single day, and it's different, and we also have a career fair for our 4th through 6th graders and a health fair for our kindergarten through 3rd graders.
Outstanding. Well, if it's okay with you, I'd like to start talking to some of the students, if I can, beginning with a young man to my right. Can you tell us your name? What grade are you in?
Second.
Okay, what's your name?
Bo.
Well, first, if you would kind of share with us, I know some of the things to talk about. If you want to share with us a bit about what you've gotten out of Red Ribbon Week and just what you'd like people to know about it. That's a good thing, right? And before you kind of got into the Red Ribbon Week, I'm sure you probably already had that thought in your mind to say no, but going through that, did it teach you some things that even you didn't know going in? Did you learn anything from the Red Ribbon Week?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us what you learned.
To make healthy decisions.
All right, good for you. Because if you make healthy decisions, the world's yours someday. You know, that it unlocks the door, so to speak. What would you like to do someday?
Be an NFL player.
All right. Hey, I wouldn't bet against you. You're a pretty stocky guy. You can do that. What's your favorite team in the NFL?
The Bengals.
All right. Hey, you've had some success the last couple of years watching the Bengals. Good for you. Thank you so much. Let's say hi to you. Tell us your name and the grade you're in.
I'm in fourth grade and my name is Sarah.
You know, if you would, you know, kindly, you know, share with us what you would like, you know, what you've gotten out of Red Ribbon Week. Why do you think it's so important that students go through that?
To make healthy choices and don't use drugs.
Oh, right. What are some of the things you think you learned from that you didn't know, you know, before you kind of were taught these things? Oh, right. And, you know, they talked about, like, the diet and the exercise and the things like that. Was that stuff you were thinking about before you kind of went through Red Ribbon Week?
Yeah.
Good for you. What would you like to do someday?
I don't know.
That's a fair answer. You know what? I couldn't answer that question until I was much older. I don't know if I can answer that question now, actually. Good for you. Let's meet our next student. Come on down here and share with us. What grade are you in and what's your name?
My name is Bailey Ball, and I am in fourth grade.
All right. Bailey, share with us your thoughts on Red Ribbon Week. Do you think it's something that all students should kind of go through and learn?
Yeah.
All right. For you, what are some things you learned by going through that maybe you didn't know before?
I learned about, like, saying no and learning how to kind of help people that go through that.
Yeah, in other words, some of your friends that maybe you remind them, hey, we're making good choices here. What are you doing, right?
Yeah.
All right, good for you. Let's take a moment. Let's say hi to Zach. We're going to have him come on down and talk with us, you know, one of the counselors, you know, to talk with. And Eric, first of all, thanks for coming. Good to see you. And, you know, share with us, again, we talked a bit about, you know, kind of the purpose, if you will, of having this. Even some of the things that you did that, you know, that I think were great about, like how you had each day had a different theme. There's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just try to get the kids so excited for the week. So we do some dress-up days to get them, you know, excited about saying no and being healthy. So Red Ribbon Week is going to take place next week. Actually, we start next week, and on Monday we have pajama day, which we're going to have the kids all wear their pajamas to school, be a little cozy while they're learning. On day two, on Tuesday, we're going to have all the kids wear red because the Red Ribbon Week and wearing red to say no to drugs and alcohol. And on Wednesday, we're going to do an 80s day, 80s and crazy hair day. Show everyone that we're crazy about being drug-free. On Thursday, which is actually Halloween, we're going to dress like your favorite movie character or dress like wear your favorite Halloween costume. And then finally on Friday, we're going to all wear our bulldog green to show everyone when we team up against drugs. But, we usually, with the help of student council, we kind of pick and figure out what kind of days the kids want to dress up, what kind of days they would like to dress up as. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, right. And the neat thing is with a lot of that is one of the things I noticed, you know, kind of a focus on is that certainly you talk about making good choices about drugs, alcohol, vaping, but you talk about, you know, like the healthy eating choices. And I wish I would have paid more attention to that growing up. That's good to get to them at a young age and explain that sweets are delicious. This catches up to you someday, right?
Exactly. So, we have had a health fair for K through 6 the last several years. It's all about being preventative and proactive. You know, the sooner we can teach these kids about taking care of their bodies and their mind, that starts with just, you know, their diet and, you know, how much they exercise and things like that. We want them to be a healthy, well-rounded bulldog. So the sooner we can get people from the community to come in and talk to them about, you know, why it's important to be healthy and start those habits early, the better they're going to feel, the more they can learn, and just the more they're going to get out of school together.
That's true. We you know, Tom, things like that, you know, if you eat good, if you are starting the day the wrong way, that sugar is going to crash, and suddenly not so funny, right? It might only be your third or fourth period, and you're done, right? You're tired, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's a big thing, too. And even the smallest things, like those basic needs, getting a good night's rest, making sure you come to school with having eaten breakfast and a full belly, all those things can kind of contribute to, you know, how much you learn, how you feel throughout the day. So it's just a good reminder to these kids that, you know, you have one body, take care of it, take care of yourself, and you know, make good choices, because it's all about, you know, living your best life.
Sure, and some of these days are an awful lot of fun, like the pajama day, for example. You know, let them come to school, though. Once you grow up, you only get to wear pajamas if either you're going to bed or going to the grocery store, I think, right?
That's right. That's right. And the kids, that's a class favorite for sure, pajama day. Kids love to show off the things that they wear to bed, and yeah, they're all colorful and cozy. So yeah, we get them. We love to do pajama day. I don't know who likes it more, but it's just for the kids.
I know. Hey, Brent, are you listening? We need to do pajama day at the radio station. Also, another thing too, when you talked about, like, you know, wear red and then 80s and crazy hair, you're killing me, because that's like my time, and now suddenly it's a retro time for the students, right? They probably call it the old days.
That's right. I know. I heard you called Mrs. Duncan vintage a little bit ago, but yeah. So it's 80s, just like flashback to the 80s, and yeah. So a lot that might be more for the adults than the kids, but it'll be fun. We'll see what kind of things they wear and how they kind of dress up to that decade.
I might still have that knit tie in the closet somewhere. I'll dig that out. Another thing also, when you talk to them about, you know, about saying no, you know, kind of the importance, I think, of, you know, it is a lot more than just say no. I mean, there's going to be peer pressure. There's going to be, you know, obviously temptation and sometimes misinformation. That you're teaching them the real facts about a lot of substances. And if we don't, you know, whether it's parents, teachers, whomever, they're going to learn the wrong stuff from the wrong people.
Absolutely. So actually with Julia and Bailey, I was in their classrooms a week or two ago. We'd actually did a lesson on peer pressure. And for fourth grade, I'm like, is that too young to learn? I don't think so, because even if it doesn't apply to, you know, saying no to drugs or alcohol, there's a lot of times where kids try to get you to do things that you're just not comfortable doing. And so we talked all about saying no and some kind of like strategies you can use to kind of keep yourself safe, whether it's, you know, hey, jump off this swing on the playground. And if you don't want to, well, here's some things that you can say and do to keep yourself safe, because it's all about, you know, taking care of yourself and not just drugs and alcohol, but I think peer pressure applies to a lot of things.
Sure. Yeah, and did you talk to them also about setting, you know, the healthy boundaries? Because one of the things I've seen posted, you know, one of only a handful of positive things I ever see on social media, honestly, somebody said, I don't want to is a perfectly okay answer. I don't want to. You don't have to explain yourself any further.
Exactly. Yep. Any way you can say no, whatever that means, that's probably going to change from kid to kid. But however you can get the message across, and even if, you know, sometimes I'm during that lesson, I said, I would never teach you guys to lie, but even if it's something like, hey, no, because of this, you know, make up excuse A, B, or C, and just, it doesn't have to be a big deal, but you're telling a little white lie to keep yourself safe and out of this bad situation.
Not to mention, and this is an old one, this probably goes back even before my time, but it's an old saying, if they were really your friends, why would they be wanting you to do things you don't want to do, right?
Exactly. Or, you know, if your friend jumps off a bridge, would you do it too? Same kind of concept, but yeah, anything that they can use to say no, to keep themselves safe. And also, you know, other kids are watching all the time too. So they see, you know, a kid sees Julia or Bailey say no to something bad, and they're going to be like, hey, they say no to it too, so I should say no. And then peer pressure works the opposite way. You know, it's positive as opposed to being a negative thing.
Yeah, and if they want to jump off the bridge, say, okay, after you.
Exactly. And you do it first. That's right.
You go first. If it's such a good idea, right? You go first. Another thing too is, and I found this one out at a young age because I wasn't cool. But the myth of being cool, you know, it's like it's cool not to be cool. Personally, I think if you're getting good grades, you're well-rounded, you're involved in a lot of activities, and you're doing well, and you have friends, and you like all your teachers, hey, now that is cool.
Exactly. And that goes back to what you talked to Ms. Simcoe about, but being a bulldog. You know, we talk to the kids all the time about being safe, respectful, responsible, and here. And those are things that don't just apply to school, but they're going to set them up for success throughout life. You know, and yeah. Different versions of what cool is. And we just tell kids, you know, take care of yourself, help people along the way, and just be a bulldog, and you're going to be living a good life.
that's what it's about. And also, you know, for you, I would ask, I've been talking to this with a lot of the staff today, why not, right? I mean, the first year, we're just months into this new building. This must be pretty exciting for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if the community members, they get a chance to go to those open houses, I'd have them come as soon as you can, because this is great. Facilities is wonderful, a lot of natural light, so many new things and rooms, and these kids in this community deserves it. So, yeah, I couldn't be happier to be a part of Sline Elementary School, and this school is something that the whole community should be proud of.
I want to thank you for your time. All of you, much appreciated. Good to have you on. Thank you so much. And go be Bulldogs. Thanks for your time today. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Awesome, guys. You guys did awesome.
The legendary Ozark Mountain Daredevils are bringing their farewell tour to the Nicewander Performing Arts Center on Friday, November 1st. Don't miss your chance to see this iconic band perform their greatest hits live one last time. Tickets start at just $25. Grab yours now at VanWertLive.com and be part of music history.
Since 1982, Westside Carryout in Salina has been known as the pizza place. To celebrate 42 years in business, Westside Carryout is offering an anniversary special from now until Monday, October 21st. You can get a large cheese or pepperoni pizza for only $7.99. Pickup only. Sorry, no extra or additional items. It's Westside Carryout's way of saying thank you for 42 years of making them the pizza place. Enjoy some Westside pizza during the anniversary special. Just $7.99 for a large cheese or pepperoni pizza until October 21st.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Sponsored by Armstrong Pharmaceuticals.
And Doug. Customize and save hundreds on car insurance with Liberty Mutual. After that, you can also save me, as I'm currently hanging from the edge of a cliff. To recap, number one, customize and save. Number two, time allowing, save me.
Shoulders separating.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com. Savings may vary and written by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Just how liberal could Sherrod Brown be? What are his actual votes?
Well, he backed bills to allow transgender biological males to compete in girls' sports and let transgender biological men into girls' locker rooms and girls' bathrooms.
Very liberal.
Brown supported allowing children to receive puberty blockers and even sex change surgery.
Super liberal.
And worse, Brown even voted to allow late-term partial birth abortions, a procedure where the baby is partially delivered alive. That's right. Brown's votes for partial birth abortion are in the congressional record. And Sherrod Brown voted to allow this terrible procedure not once, not twice, but six different times over 8 years.
That's radical liberal.
Sherrod Brown has let us down. He's just way too liberal for Ohio.
Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back here, and we are back to school in Salina. We're going to talk to the student council. We have Mrs. Jessica Sager and then a couple of sixth graders, Hugh Grishep and Ella Brunswick. And so, first of all, Jessica, thanks for coming. Good to see you. All right, let's, talk about one of the things, to begin things with, if you would. Share with us a bit about yourself. How long have you been here, and what is so important about the student council and what they do?
Yeah, so my name is Jessica Sager. This is my second year teaching here at Salina. I graduated from my Salina Lake campus 2 years ago. I teach sixth grade language arts. This is actually my first year here with the student council. And as a group, we have 16 members, and we take care of just being good leadership and good role models in the building. And we take care of different activities and just setting a good example for kids of, like, how to be a bulldog and how to make good choices and have fun while we're at school.
Outstanding. So you have a couple of, I understand, sixth graders, right, today?
Yeah.
Alma's our first one. And now, thanks for coming. Good to see you. You know, kind of share with us, if you would, why you enjoy being a part of student council. What's it all about?
It's fun because you get to help people and, like, help us, like, run the school, kind of, and just show, like, how to be a Bulldog.
All right. So how long have you been involved now?
1 year.
1 year works. Okay. How often do you have to meet?
Every Friday.
All right. So it sounds like a lot of fun to get to do that and to kind of learn some things. And, you know, I think one of the things, too, to, you know, ask you about, you know, is maybe even talk about some of the things that, you know, that you're currently working on. And a lot of that is a bit about what we were just talking about, too, as we were working at, you're working on Red Ribbon Week, I understand, right? Let's hear about it.
This week focuses on helping kids make healthy choices and staying drug-free. We made a coloring contest for K-4, and we also have dress-up days. There are pajamas, red-out, 80s, Halloween costume, and jersey/Bulldog Friday.
All right. Sounds like that's going to be a lot of fun. But also, I'm sure there was some work in putting that together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Have you thought about what you would like to do someday? Like, look, you know, you are... Tell us again that you are actually in which grade again for both of you?
Sixth grader.
So you got some years yet. But have you thought about what you might want to do for a career someday?
Not really.
Okay, understandable. There's a lot of things you can do. Let's talk with Hugh for a moment. And you know, thanks for coming on. Hugh's all about the Bulldog football. He's got a shirt on there. So let's hear with us about some of the things that you've been able to be a part of that you are, you know, currently working in the future on.
In the future, we will be doing a code drive here with Teacher Appreciation Day, helping with Veterans Day. We also decorate the bulletin board for the Word of the Month to help remind students responsibility, citizenship, teamwork, honesty, kindness, safety, perseverance, and gratitude.
Outstanding. You know, what's neat is when you work on these things, you know, obviously, when I think about the staff of the school, they're kind of busy with their own thing. It's hard for them to come up with time to prepare for things like that or Red Ribbon Week. You're doing them a huge favor on that one, right?
Yep.
All right. What to share with you a couple things that you can share with us. First of all, what do you think of the new building, right? I mean, you're kind of the first among those to kind of go to it, right?
I like the new building. I think it's very cool. I think it's definitely huge.
It is. Yeah, they gave me a little tour, and we didn't even have time to go upstairs yet. So I know it's you know, it's definitely huge, but all the latest and the greatest, right?
Yep.
All right. For you, have you thought about you know, share with us, you know, if you would, you know, kind of your thoughts on that?
I think that it's very nice because it's definitely an upgrade from last year, and like have a lot of grades in it, so it's kind of fun seeing the little kids and.
Yeah, and another thing too that I think we can't say enough about, we mentioned it earlier, it's nice to have some AC, right? Like when, especially when you start school. It's a funny thing about life in the Midwest. You are pretty much starting school in the dead of summer, and then you get into weird days like this where it was kind of cold this morning and it's going to be hot today, and you don't even have to think about it, right? You just come in and go to school, right? Outstanding. Pretty neat. I wanted to ask you one more time because I wanted to give him a chance. Same question I asked you. Have you thought about what you want to do someday for a career?
So I want to be like, I want to run a business, like, anything. So.
Yeah, I think you'll run a business, give it a couple of years, and you'll start franchising other locations, right?
I hope.
There you go. I wouldn't bet against you, right? You know, excellent. Let's, you know, kind of, you know, talk, you know, once again, talk to Mr. Sager. And you were telling us, you know, you teach language arts. Share with us, where did you grow up? And you said you went to the Lake campus. What made you decide to go into education?
So I grew up outside of St. Henry, Ohio. I graduated from St. Henry. My dad was a high school teacher, but I really just liked being in the school environment. And, like, when I was younger, I would, like, kind of play school with, like, my cousins and siblings and everything. And I think I just really, as I went into college, I really fell in love with, like, the middle school age group and, like, the fun conversations that we can have in class and all of the, fun things that we can do when you only teach one subject as compared to teaching a whole bunch of subjects in the, as in like the lower levels. So I think it's really fun to be able to focus on like reading whole novels and like putting together like writings and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, language arts and writing stories, making them up and whatever, I think is a lot of fun. I always did, you know, and it's something that I'm sure you've had some students that maybe they thought they couldn't do this, right? Like, I can't make up a story. And you work with them and say, I know you can, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Last year at the end of the year, we did narrative story writing. And so the kids had to come up with their own story. And I just gave them, like, prompts and topics that they had to kind of fall under. And the kids had a lot of fun. They had a lot of creativity to come up with, like, their own stories and their own things that whatever they wanted, it wasn't tied down to like a specific like curriculum topic or anything. So they had a lot of fun writing their own stories. It was really cool to see their creativity on those.
I bet it was. I'm sure you saw a few where you said, stick with this. You can really, you know, do this someday.
Yeah, definitely.
As opposed to one time I wrote a story where it was see me after class, right? It happens sometimes, right? There get a few of those here and there, but
yeah.
But from that, you know, it's something that I would think also as a building block, right? I mean, it's going to serve you well. At some point, you're going to have to do some writing, you know, no matter what you do. It seems like it's going to get into the picture somehow.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, being able to set the foundational skills now, whether kids go to college or, like, go to work or whatever they do, having the good writing skills is definitely important.
Very important. And you know, there was a commercial they ran years ago where they said people judge you by the words you use. And, you know, we always try to look at, you know, what's in someone's heart. But on the other hand, when the grammar is not all that great, that really works against people. I'm sorry to say, but it just does. We all look at it and go, wait, that's not right. You know?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
In other words, I'm thinking of that, you know where the apostrophe goes when you are saying Y-O-U apostrophe R. That's like the most frequently violated rule I think there is in writing, right?
Yep, definitely.
It's hard. But, you know, you encourage it because I don't think grammar is that hard, you know, to learn. You remember these rules. And in a lot of cases, you can look them up as fast as you want to, right? Or,
yep.
Is this sentence okay, you know, that you can do that?
And especially having our phones right with us, right? You can Google a lot of things and double-check yourself before you maybe hit send or write something.
So. Do you also have to, and I know this is probably a tough one, even a touchy one, but, you know, the responsible use of AI, we know it's not going away. In fact, the new thing is sometimes when you go to make a social media post, it'll prompt you, but do you want us to make this funny or do you want to, and we didn't have that before. Do you kind of talk about, like, use this stuff responsibly?
Yeah, as we get into our curriculum and our units a little bit further, we talk about, like, how to use sources from the internet and how to use all that stuff. And part of it is, like, knowing what's reliable and knowing what your work when you then go into writing. Like, yes, you could use AI to, like, kind of influence and help guide your thoughts, but you can't let that write the entire essay for you because that in itself is plagiarism. That's not your words.
not to mention also you're going to know because, for one thing, I know you're smart. The other thing is, when I've looked at some of the prompts where it wants to change my post and I look at what it suggests, everybody reading is going to know, I don't talk that way. And I think you can tell, like, wait a minute, that's not you. We just know, you know?
Definitely. You can tell, like, the vocabulary and, like, the sentence structure, everything is just a little bit more than especially what a sixth grader would give. And even I could say probably at the high school level, maybe a little more than what they would give. And so it's just really teaching the kids how to use things appropriately and responsibly to be able to get their own quality work and not just work for somebody else.
Well, and some of that also is pride, right? I mean, even if they do somehow fool you, they know what they did. I mean, you want to be proud of what you did, right?
Exactly, yeah. And I think when you can get the kids to make growth in their writing, they get that confidence a little bit more to be able to write their own thing and not feel like they need to rely on sources from the internet or AI to do it for them.
You said this was your second year, right? So if you could share with us, I imagine, you know, your first year was pretty exciting, but that moment where you kind of walked into class for the first time, right, it's your first day, you've got a classroom full of students and they're looking at you like, okay, teach us something. I mean, that had to be a little nerve-wracking. Makes me think of my first day on the air, for example. This is what you want, but still, it's the first time. Was that kind of nerve-wracking for you?
Yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking, especially, like, I'm not from this community. I'm not from here. So, like, just I knew it was a totally different environment than what I had grown up with education-wise. And so it's been a lot of fun to see, like, differences and to see, like, how I can best serve the Salina community and how I can make an impact in this kid's life as well. It was really intimidating because that first day after I was done, it was so hot last year, and I was exhausted afterwards. And then they wake up the next morning and they say, oh, we're going to close because of heat. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is kind of crazy to close on the second day of school because it was so hot. We didn't have air conditioning.
Yes.
But it was definitely very interesting to kind of get thrown all into that at once. And then to watch outside my classroom the construction of the new building halfway, partway through the year. Like, I had a window get removed from my classroom because of the construction. So it was just a lot of chaos. We watched them lay brick. We watched them put up insulation and all that kind of stuff. So I think it was a really fun and entertaining
yes.
year where we had no idea what was going to happen outside the room.
Yeah, I can imagine you're trying to teach your class and they come along and say, this window, you won't be needing this anymore. We'll just help ourselves, right?
Yeah, I pretty much showed up right before school happened and they were all in there taking everything down. And then they came in, and probably it was right around Labor Day, and they repainted, they put bricks in and they repainted the wall. So it was very interesting.
I bet it was. So
watch it.
So for you, though, going into year two, I mean, now you've got a year behind you. You've got some experience and a new building. So I imagine the first day of school this year had to be pretty exciting for you.
Yeah, I was excited, especially kind of jumping in and knowing what was going on a little more, knowing what I was to be teaching. It made me feel a lot better. I was excited to kind of meet all the students and not feel the overwhelm of everything else that I needed to figure out. So it's been an awesome year so far.
I was going to say, certainly, you know, being a teacher is work. You've got to have your planner and have it laid out. But on the other hand, it just seems like you have an awful lot of fun too, right?
Yes, I definitely try to.
And I was thinking also about, again, that first year, you know, for you, like your first, like, parent-teacher conferences, right? I mean, those moments where you think, this is it, I'm really doing this, right? I mean, that had to be a lot of fun to meet the parents of some of these students that you'd had for a couple months, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially I have two great coworkers that are with my cluster with me, and they've been awesome help kind of guiding me through all those situations. It was the first time I'd done a lot of that stuff. So just having them as mentors and helping me kind of figure out what I need to do and what is important and what needs to be done is super awesome. I didn't feel like I was all alone.
Now, you said your dad was a high school teacher.
Yeah.
What did he teach?
St. Henry.
Okay, and what was his subject? I'm sorry.
High school math.
Okay.
So definitely not what I went into.
I understand entirely. Math was something I just tried to survive, to be honest with you. But
I would agree.
How did it go over at home when you said, hey, I want to be a teacher too? I mean, there had to be some pride there, right?
Yeah, I think so. It was just a lot of conversations about what it would be like, and I think I kind of saw that from him, like going into school with him and everything. So I felt kind of confident going in and kind of knowing what to expect, but obviously there's a lot more that I didn't know I was getting myself into, especially being with like the middle school grades or in a bigger district like this. I just wasn't used to, there's anybody here is willing to lend a hand and willing to be helpful, and sometimes I don't think I've ever felt like I was kind of on my own island, which is really nice.
That is definitely a good thing. So
yeah.
It's also fun to think about, like you said, like what's going to be next. Obviously, this building looks great. You know, the project's not done, right? You're going to see some more stuff happening here.
Yeah. So we after the first of the year, we will move into our permanent classroom, and I'm super excited to see what that looks like and what. Where everyone will be and what changes they've made, because we're in the same spot that we were in last year, but they're redoing certain spots. And so it'll be super cool to see what that all looks like in the end.
All right. right. So for anybody that's even thinking of that's kind of growing up there, if they're thinking about going into education, would you recommend that? It looks like a very fulfilling career.
I would, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Very good. I want to thank all of you for being on, you know, today. And again, pretty exciting to think about what's to come. We're going to take a quick break, and the topic, if you will switch. Greg Emsball will be here, and what we're going to talk about is transportation, right? Those yellow buses that we see every morning, and we see them early, and the work involved, right? They've got a bus garage, and what time they have to get up to, you know, to drive to, what do they do in the daytime while they're waiting to take you home, and all that stuff, of course, where bus drivers come from, and what you have to, you know, learn to be a bus driver. We'll talk about that, because I know they usually need bus drivers, or at least substitute their drivers, so what you have to learn, you know, to drive one of these buses safely. As we continue, we are back to school in Salina on 96.7 The Wave. Welcome back. It's back to school in Salina. Got Greg Emsball with me, and he is a transportation supervisor. Greg, good to see you again. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I tell you what, another year, another, you know, time of bus routes and everything. If you could share with us, with this new project, how have things changed, you know, for your department? I know there's been quite a bit.
Wholesale changes.
Yeah.
When you move an elementary group from one side of school, one side of town to the other, golly, it changes everything. Changes walk area, changes new kids on buses that need to learn. I mean, lots and lots of changes. Population has exploded in our elementary kids, where I'm averaging 65 to 70 kids on a bus every day on the elementary side. So a lot going on. We did decide to kind of make the cut line Logan Avenue, so kids aren't crossing across that busy highway. So yeah, we did a few other things that was a little different. You know, some now have to walk that are kind of getting used to that and have really been cooperative and flexible about that. And then the ones on the other side of 1.7 now Main Street, they get a bus ride that they've never had since 1978, actually.
Wow,
and
about
the walk
that.
Areas first was drawn up and stuff for the primary school that was basically the love of heat school. You know, all those kids had to walk on that. So now they're getting bus rides, and they're learning what they're doing, and drivers are learning routes and learning kids and stuff. So, yeah, it's been a challenge.
I can imagine so, but obviously, you know, for a lot of the kids, I mean, exciting that some of them get to ride the bus for the first time. I bet a lot of us growing up, you know, we took that one for granted, right? You're absolutely right. I remember, you know, that some kids did walk to school depending on, you know, where they happen to live and so on and so forth.
Yeah, in a mile area, doesn't seem like a whole lot, and it's like a crow's flight. You know, a lot of folks had the misconception that it was driving. You know, well, I don't have to drive a mile to get to school, or I have to drive more than a mile to get to school. It's how the crow flies. You draw a big circle like an umbrella, and whatever that umbrella covers is where your walk area is. So, yeah, there's been some concerned parents and stuff, but more the police department and the head chief of police and everybody has chipped in, and our superintendent came up with a lot of good ideas on paper to hand out to kids and the newsletter and stuff. So, yeah, we did the best we could for the time that was allowed to us. We work really hard at getting everybody covered and everybody comfortable.
Yeah, and I would think a lot of that is just teaching them, you know, watch where you're crossing, watch where you're going, get off your phones, look around you, don't always assume that you can be seen, and just common sense stuff, you know?
Exactly, and my drivers are the same way. You know, my professionals behind the wheel, they have to be double aware of kiddos coming out from between parked cars or using their crosswalks and not doing this and doing that, so. You know, I've had several calls from drivers saying, hey, we need to get some help. We call the chief. Chief gets the police right there right away. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and if you're a walker to those kids, someday you'll be able to grow up and tell your kids, I walk to school uphill both ways in the snow. You know,
yep,
you'll be one of those
parents. Uphill both ways.
You
absolutely. So just, you know, if you don't mind, I tell everybody kind of what we do on a daily basis out of my office with, say, one secretary and two mechanics. We run every day 18 buses. 8 of those buses have aids on them, which really helps them out. We run 1,500 miles a day. So that's like driving to Dallas, Texas every day. So, yeah, just kind of put it in perspective. You know, like I said, high school, middle school average is about 35 per bus going to and from school. And then the K-6 kids, like we're up there, 70, 72 62 kids per bus, and a bus capacity 3 to a seat that we have is 72. So we're full. We're pretty busy. And today, by the way, today starts School Bus Safety Week. So, you know, we're going to be out there about with some signs and slogans, and the sheriff and the local police will be out there watching and making sure everything goes good for school bus safety.
Excellent. I think also overall, at least this year, it seems things are off to a little better start. I think with school safety, I haven't heard of too many incidents. I do notice I drive to work early, and, you know, and I see the school buses out there, and I mean Salina buses, and it seems people are doing a good job, you know, on both sides of the road. They're stopping even before the red lights come on, and that's what it's about, right? We got to do our part.
Yeah, we're trying to get the word out there through social media and everywhere that we can go. You know, the yellows doesn't necessarily mean you stomp on the gas to run through it like you do a stop sign. You know, there's kids standing out there, so be a good opportunity to maybe slow down and let everybody else get stopped behind the red lights, because we do have outdoor cameras, rear-facing cameras that, you know, if you do pass by, we will catch your license.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll get a friendly little knock on the door from the local law enforcement department saying, hey, do you remember when?
Well, you know, we do.
You don't? Well,
we
let
do.
Let me show you what I
have. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I know for all of you, you'd rather not, right? But people, you know, that's up to them, right?
That is totally up to the person. And unfortunately, on this subject, you know, we still are averaging about a situation a day. That somebody gets reported in from my drivers, hey, we got a red light violation and stuff. And it's mostly on the main, it's usually on the main roads, the 127s, the US 33, 29. You know, it's usually there. And their argument is, well, I don't know when the reds are going to come on, you know. And sure, don't test it though. You know, you'd be better off just to stop and wait a couple minutes for us to get our kiddos on.
Not to mention, also, look at what time it is. I've often said, I said this last year when we talked to you, that I don't know of anybody in the world that's more on time than a bus driver. So you look at your watch. It's 12:49 right now. Just leave a minute earlier or a minute later. Probably take care of your problem.
Yeah, that would be a thing. If you don't like to be stopped by the bus, you know, leave the house 5 minutes earlier or whatever. You'll miss it.
Yeah.
For sure. You might see the kiddos standing out there waiting, because we asked them to be out there a little before we get.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Now, let's also talk about, you know, some of your routes and some of your times. I can't imagine what time some of these bus drivers get up in the morning.
Well, the morning routes, the first routes out run, the earliest is about 6 o'clock, because we do get to the middle school, high school a little earlier. We change that. Loading and unloading all around, where we're just doing everything at the middle school. So they wanted to give the kids a little more time and give us a little more time, and it's worked out great of how it was all set up. So we did 6:03, between that and 6:30 is about the last bus out that leaves in the morning. And then they all get into the school about 7 in the morning.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. People might also have the time, but they might think, oh, I don't know how to drive a bus, or I'm sure there's so much training. Well, I imagine there is quite a bit of training, but I'm sure you would tell them you can do it, right?
Oh, yeah, everybody can do it. That really has the passion for the kids and whatever. We tried something this early summer on Juneteenth, where we had a school bus test drive. I don't know if anybody's seen the Facebook video that Jonathan and I put out. That we allowed people to come out and get on board with a regular driver, one of our regular drivers, and just put around the fairgrounds to get an idea of what the school bus felt like. I got 19 rides, and from them 19, I hired 3 bus drivers and got a couple more in the process. So it was very successful.
Yeah, a lot of people do it. Think about who would be a good bus driver. What comes to mind would be retirees, perhaps, or, you know, people that just might be looking for some part-time work,
sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah, if you have a passion for the kids and stuff, we can teach you how to drive the bus and how to handle that. So it's about 40 hours worth of training. It's about 16 hours of classroom and then 20 or so hours of behind-the-wheel stuff besides the training that we give internally. Military fellows that are done with their service, or retired truck drivers, or anybody that wants to get out of the house for a few hours a day and love kids. You're a perfect candidate.
Yep, I remember growing up, you know, let's face it, your day really starts with a bus driver. That's the first person you're going to see. And I think a lot of us have, you know, fairly good, you know, memories of our bus driver. And
I remember
most
mine.
Of them, right? Yeah.
I remember mine. His name was Harold Walters, bless his heart. And I remember him to this day and almost remember my very first day on the bus with him. It was a great experience. And like you said, the bus driver's smiling face and a good morning, and a smiling face and hey, have a great day and enjoy your evening is huge. Huge
yeah.
for the kid's start, you know.
And I think the best thing my bus driver ever used to say to me was, see you on Monday,
yeah,
because that's Friday, right?
See you on Monday, yep. There's a lot of things that have changed. I remember back in the day when I rode bus, I'm from Antonia, and most of our bus drivers were small farmers. So, you know, they farm their 40, 50, 60 acres and then use their bus driving job for their benefits and their insurances and stuff. So that's where I got started. I started my own lawn care business back in 04, and I drove bus for the Dark County DD back before Peterman came on, and that was my benefits and stuff. So, yeah, there's those little 40 and 50-acre farmers are getting more scarce and more scarce. So, yeah, that's where a lot of them had come from back in the day.
But also, you know, you talk about, I know it's probably hard to give a bus driving lesson, you know, on the radio, but nonetheless, I mean, in general, when you are driving a bus, I mean, how much different is than driving, like, your regular vehicle? Obviously, it's bigger, but, mm-hmm. you know, is the steering obviously a little different, the gear shift, that kind of stuff?
Not really. The automatic buses, power steering, the brakes, a lot of it is similar to driving, like you say, a pickup truck.
Okay.
A little larger van or something like that. So, yeah, it really isn't that much difference other than I've always said if you can get the mirrors through, you're going to be okay the rest of the way through the bus. You know, so it isn't a whole lot different, but then again, it has its own, you know, things that you need to learn and stuff like the tail swing and stuff. When the nose goes one way, the tail goes the other. And a lot of people, you know, kind of don't understand how that happens that way.
Sounds like one of the key things is don't rush.
Don't be in a hurry.
Don't be in a hurry.
Right. Don't be in a hurry. If you're there by 7, it's a day. If you're there by 9, it's a day. So, you know, I try not to watch the clock too much. Favorite part of my job is driving the bus.
And also, you know, with buses, too, you can talk about, because you obviously do have, you know, like the bus garage and everything. I mean, in general, your buses, they're usually kept up pretty good. And
oh, yeah.
Do you have issues now and then?
Oh, yeah. My mechanics, Craig and Dave, are top-notch. Just top-notch guys. And the guys that was before them, just top-notch fellas. We pass 100% inspection every year. When we go to sell buses, we get top dollar out of our buses because they're taken care of. Considering the fact they sit outside 24/7, you know, there are a few districts around that have bus, you know, bus barns and stuff that their buses in. So, yeah, buses are always top-notch. Never afraid to drive them anywhere I want to take them.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent. And another thing, too, I'm sure you ask people, you know, be patient. Sometimes people get frustrated when they think, gosh, there's not that much snow or it's not that mm-hmm. far. Yeah, you're erring on the side of caution. You want to put those buses out on safe roads.
That's correct. You know, it's a darned if you do, darned if you don't type situation sometimes. Oh, we could have went today or what are we doing out here in weather like this? So it's sometimes it's a no-win situation, but between myself and Tim Buescher and Brian Settler and our new superintendent, Brooks, Gessler, we will take our time. We will make the right decision. We will always, always err on the side of safety. Because
yeah.
It's not only the bus drivers and the buses, but you have a lot of teenagers and stuff driving their own cars to high school, middle school, and you have to keep them in mind, too.
You do, and also that's life in the Midwest. We literally have all four seasons in one school year. I mean, you pretty much mm-hmm. start in summer, right? You
yes.
know?
Yes, get 90 degrees.
Yeah, then leave in spring.
Yeah,
so.
Yep, someday. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And good to see you again. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me come on. I appreciate it. I'll talk school busing all day.
Absolutely. Would love if we had all day. Well, tomorrow we want to remind people, too, we'll be back in this building. We're going to talk about art, physical education, music. We're going to talk about the band and Lego League. And then after that, we're on tour because we're going to the middle school for Wednesday, then to the high school, and then we're going to wrap it up with TriStar on Friday. I want to thank all of our guests today. Thank Clay Roberts, our producer. Frank, also thank you to Brad Niekamp for going above and beyond. what a guy he is, and we thank his help. Thank you to Mrs. Duncan, her help today also. very, very important.
And if I can add to that, too, thanks to all the administration here at Salina Schools. Great to work with. Principals, our superintendent, very supportive and always there for us. Just really, really good to work with everybody here. That's what made this this change such a smooth deal.
All right. With that, we'll wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow.